Hey, everybody, this is Tom Sharpling, and welcome to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. Basically, this is a podcast we're going to do every other week, giving you a bite-sized version of all the mirth and mayhem that goes on every week on the best show on WFMU. So please check out this exciting clip. Now, as you all know, something horrible happened this weekend in the world of comedy. I'm sure everybody has seen the clip by now. You know, people go up on stage, I guess, and they feel... If they feel they're going to try something, they feel like they're going to reach for something and then enter kind of risky or edgy territory, a lot of times you're going to fall on your face. And you end up offending everybody. And you end up making a fool out of yourself. Now, I'm not sure about the apology, but I don't think there is any level of apologies that can finally, where this horrible, horrible incident will be forgiven. Not by me, at least. I'm going to need a lot more than what I've seen so far to unsee what I saw.
Welcome.
Whoa, what was that? Welcome. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm in, Tron or something. Like, War Games. That's the Friends of Tom chat making sounds. I need to shut the audio off on that. Will that do it? That will do it. But as I was saying, a professional comic should know better. Somebody whose job it is to make us laugh should know better. You should know what's offensive when you go up on stage and you do something. You think you're being funny. You think you're being poignant or pointed. Same thing. And you only end up looking like a fool. Now, I don't know if Billy Crystal has apologized yet, but he's got a long way to go before he is forgiven in my mind. Billy Crystal should be ashamed of himself for what he did at the Comic Relief this past weekend. I'm going to play a little bit of it. And you be the judge. Just to set the scene. It is the Comic Relief benefit helping the people of Katrina. And Billy Crystal. There's like a framed silhouette of a man playing clarinet. And then you reveal that that man is Billy Crystal doing his horrible jazz man character. I don't know if this is suitable for airplay. No, I mean, I know it's clean. I just literally, it is so horrible. Just on pure artistic grounds, this may not be suitable for airplay. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. I grew up in New Orleans. I have lived in the Ninth Ward most of my trade cool life.
Oh, boy.
My father he was in the army. He was a trumpet player in the army band, and he also played the bugle. He was a good bugle player. I mean, he could play that bugle. When he played taps, you knew that the cat that was dead meant something to somebody. I mean, he played it like it was the blues. So like, bop do dwee, bop do zow, bop do zap, do zap, do zap.
Mike just asked if he, what did you ask? Mike just asked if he had blackface on. No, it's called audio blackface. It's called, it's like theater. When you hear it, it's just like theater of the mind. Just picture Billy Crystal without blackface, mind you, somehow managing to embody the spirit of not an old jazz man. And jazz man is always in quotes because it means black guy, jazz man. He's not embodying the spirit of an old jazz man. He's embodying the spirit of the most racist person on earth. He is somehow, this could be like his audition for like Grand Wizard. This would be his campaign video. If he was running, this would be the thing they would show, where it would be just like, I see a new vision for the Klan in 2006. Babudui, babudwa, babudui, babudwa,
So when I was old enough, I wanted to play the horn, you know. I went up to my dad and I said, Pops, I want to be a musician. And he said to me, Lester, my boy, Face, come here. If you want to be a musician, play the clarinet, not the trumpet. I said, why, Pop? He said, hey, look at my lip. You see that little dent over my lip, and then you get all this callus and stuff, and I'm telling you, boy, the chicks don't like to kiss the trumpet players. So I took one look at that lip, and that's when I became a clarinet player. Can't you dig that? I knew that you could.
Ugh. Well, at least he's not going to say that anymore. He got that, can you dig that? I know that you could. I'm sure he won't go to that again. He worked it in once. I'll give him one time. He worked it in once.
So when World War II came bopping around and it got a little bit more interesting, they sent Pops to the South Pacific, not to play the horn, but to fight. I was 14 years old when he left, and I could play the licorice stick pretty good, so I got a job.
The licorice stick. Ugh. First of all, clarinet is a stupid instrument. Anybody who plays it is I'm not going to say everyone who plays a clarinet is an idiot. The good chance if you play clarinet, you're an idiot. Not everyone. Most.
I'm at the Barker Brothers Funeral Home to play in the band, you know, that marches down the street, leading the casket on its way to heaven. Can you dig that?
Okay, said it a second time. Let's count how many times he says, can you dig that? It's two. What's the over-under on this one for can you dig that? I say seven.
Now, during the war, the funeral business was sad but steady. I was 16 when I marched down the street when my dad come home from the war, leading his procession, the American flag draped on his coffin. My mother, my six brothers and sisters marching behind me as I strutted up the way, on our way to bring him to his sleeping place. And I think it's the only time that taps was ever played on the clarinet. Can you dig that? I knew that you could.
Oh, there's three?
And there was a red painted house on the corner right before the cemetery. And every time I would strut by the street, right, I would see this beautiful girl, sweet looking dress on the porch, and she would smile at me. And I would smile back, because, you know, I ain't stupid, you know. Her name was Marjorie Green. We've been smiling.
You hear the people in the audience just coughing? Like, just like you hear people in the audience just like, you can hear the rustling. People just wondering when this is going to stop.
Smiling at each other for over 15 years now. 50 years.
You flubbed the line.
That? I knew that you could.
There's four.
That was our house. We raised three kids in this house here.
He's also now gesturing to the set that's behind him, the comic relief set, which was very tastefully done. It was a demolished New Orleans street Which, first of all, was great for the for all the fun comedy everybody was doling out. You know, who wouldn't want to see Rita Rudner do her act in front of a demolished home, reconstructed home, by the way, not even a real home, just you know, the comic relief people. It's like hitting it a little too hard. We get it. You're trying to raise money for New Orleans. You didn't have to recreate the street.
We had a lot of laughs in this house. We made a lot of music in this house. My band would practice here. We'd jam here every day. You know, we'd just sit right here on the porch that used to be right over there. Yeah, and we
right over there. It's just, this is like the most offensive thing ever. We'd play on the thing right over there. What is that?
We just play, you know, Margie and I. We've been through a lot of storms in this house, a lot of storms. So when we heard about this angry woman named Katrina, we said,
"Oh, yuck. This angry woman named Katrina." Who wrote this for him? He probably wrote this himself. Like, Robin, Robin, Whoopi, wait till you see what I wrote. And they're both like, that is terrible. But, we're not much better.
That we would stay, even though I know how hard it is to deal with an angry woman. Can you dig that? I knew that you
could. That's number five.
The wind started blowing real hard. You could feel the house, like, standing there fighting its ground. And then the rain come. The rain come hard and hard and harder. It was like being inside a Buddy Rich drum when he was beating on it. But the difference between God and Buddy Rich was, Buddy knew when it was time to quit.
Ba-dum-bum.
It was shaking so loud, you thought that the house was going to blow away, and then you'd wake up and the little munchkin cats would be outside, you know? God, you dig that?
Oh, boy.
I knew that you could.
There you go, number six.
I looked
six.
Out the crack in the window, and I seen Edgar Clayton's Dodge Dart. Now, this Dodge Dart had been sitting on blocks in his yard for about 10 years, but now it comes sailing down the street. Water pushing it so fast. I said, Marjorie Green, get your old ass upstairs. We get up the stairs faster than we did on our honeymoon night. The water just tore into the house. Yeah. If I was praying it wasn't going to wash away, you know, because I like going to the other side of town. I just didn't want to do it in my house, you see. Can you dig that?
There we go. Took that long to get to the first actual joke. Congratulations, Billy. The 5-minute mark, and you finally constructed something that actually resembles a joke.
I knew that you could.
Number seven.
I grabbed whatever I could find. I grabbed this hat, my horn, and Marjorie Green.
Now, I should just make mention, Billy Crystal is doing that look on his face, the same look that he does for every old character he plays. Like, where he just kind of, like, pinches his face. And he's really just, I mean, the only way to say it is that he's actually, like, shuffling up on stage. I mean, it really, I'm amazed that Michael Richards is getting the amount of grief. Michael Richards, if he put an 800 number at the bottom of his rant, he'd be okay right now if he put the comic relief number. If he held up a card that had the toll-free number on it, nobody would be giving him any grief. If he just did it as a character.
That American flag that was on my pop's coffin. We made our way up to the window and I opened and I looked out and just saw rooftops. And I took pop's flag and unwrapped the triangle that had been in all them years. You know, and I just started waving out the window, you see. And I seen Lamar Guidry in his bass boat coming down the street. And he's...
Ugh. I don't know if I can play any more of this. We heard Lamar Guidry in his bass boat. Is this the worst thing I've ever played, Mike? Oh, we're not even halfway done.
And he sees the flag, and I don't know how, but I got Marjorie out the window into the water. And Lamar, he dives into the water, he gets into the boat, and then me wrapped in the flag, carrying my horn, because you never know when there's going to be a gig. We ended up at the Superdome. 30,000 other cats, and it wasn't even a game. It was a shame. No food, no water, no turlets.
No turlets. No turlets. No food, no water, no turlets. What are you, Archie Bunker? No turlets? No turlets. That's it. We're listening to the rest of this.
No help. This ain't America. How the hell could you forget about us? I mean, I can forget my keys, what I had for breakfast, but I can never forget a city. You can never forget its people. 5 days till the president got here. 5 days. Well, actually, it makes sense. I mean, Cheney took 2 days to tell us he shot his friend in the face, so what's another three? You know what I'm saying? Did you dig where I'm coming from?
Great. There you go. Nice. Look. This guy's actually getting me to feel bad for Bush. Cheap partisan jokes. Things a benefit. It took to shoot Cheney in the face. Bad Cheney joke. You know, Billy Crystal thought of that one back. When did it happen? March? That's probably the only reason they did this comic relief, was so that he could tell that stupid joke.
And Marjorie and I, we were put on a bus, sent to Houston, Texas. Now, I don't mind Houston. I played there many gigs, years and years. But it's just not home. We got a small little place there that's kind of clean and okay. The only thing we have to decorate it is that American flag. But the way I feel now, I can't put it up. America forgot about us. You see, the folks in Washington, they don't think that all the displaced folks in the Gulf area is a bad thing.
How did he just say Washington?
It is that American flag. But the way I feel now, I can't put it up. America forgot about us. You see, the folks in Washington, they don't think that all the displaced folks in the Gulf area is a bad thing. They don't want all of us to come back to New Orleans because come voting time, just like the other day, those folks in Washington won't have a home either. Because when angry, righteous folks come together, that's a whole other kind of tidal wave. Can you dig that? I knew that you could.
Yay, let's all cheer at the election. We get it. Ugh. I can't play the rest of this. I'm starting to feel... I mean, I'm feeling bad for Bush now. It's like, how much more suffering do the people of New Orleans have to take? They got this guy heaping the final indignity on them. Some multimillionaire shuffling up on stage pretending to be some old black guy. I'm sorry, I mean like, to use the proper terminology, Afro-American, as Michael Richards said, proving that that Michael Richards apology. Holy guacamole. That was something else.
I miss my band. I miss making the music. See, when you got the blues and you can't play them, it's tough. Sometimes I just close my eyes and I'm out there on the porch and we're all together again playing jazz, kids watching us. Marjorie Greene sitting right over there, tapping her foot, smiling. I want to go home, but there's no home to go home to. That's what makes it a tad difficile, as the French say.
Hold on.
Now listen.
I can't even... I'll be stopping every 15 seconds. A tad difficile. I got to hear that again.
Smiling. I want to go home, but there's no home to go home to. That's what makes it a tad difficile, as the French say. Now listen, I'm just an old clarinet man, you know? Ugh. But I got an idea, Mr. Bush. Stop your war for one day, give New Orleans the bread it costs to fight that one day, and use it to rebuild us.
Yeah, great idea. Let's stop the war for one day.
That's all, one day. Maybe 2 days. That's it.
You can't stop a war for a day. We're not spending any money today. Sorry. Billy Crystal was doing this racist thing, and he told us to, we got to stop the war. This guy's got to eat over there. Says, how about you end the war, you dope? Stop the war for a day and then start it back up.
Stop the war. Stop blowing up Iraq and start building up New Orleans.
Why don't you blow up Billy Crystal's house?
I respect you, Mr. Bush. I do. Because you're the leader of the band. But damn, I don't think you really get it. See, you got a place to sleep that's yours. For a couple of years, anyway.
Oh,
just think what it's like for us. Do you understand that, Mr. Bush?
No.
Do you? Do you know what it means?
Oh, here we go.
To miss New Orleans.
Hey, where's my suicide machine?
Each night and
okay,
day.
Okay, right in this vein right here, please.
I know I'm not wrong.
Hook the IV up.
The feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. Mr. Moss-colored vine. The tall sugar pines where mockingbirds come.
Mockingbirds. Like this. Like they can't. Song of the South. They can't even do Song of the. Like Song of the South, rightfully, has been driven out of circulation. It's only going to be available, I think, as a historical document next year. You got this guy up here on stage at a benefit. Talking about the turlet and the mocking boys. How is he not being driven out of his mansion? Was he on Leno apologizing last night? I want Billy Crystal on Craig Ferguson tonight, apologizing via satellite. Well, thank you for listening to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. If you like what you just heard, the full-length program is done each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen on your radio in the New York, New Jersey area at 91.1 FM or anywhere on the globe at WFMU.org. WFMU.org also has an extensive archiving of all the previous episodes of The Best Show. And you can get more information on the program over at friendsoftom.com. I want to thank a few people, if I could. Martin DeGrell, the producer and compiler of Best Show Gems. Thank you, Martin. Mel Matsuoka, who is the producer of the full-length 3-hour Best Show podcast each and every week, and the protector of the Best Show on WFMU archives. Thank you, Mel. John Worcester, obviously, thank you. Associate producer Mike, and everybody at WFMU, thank you so much. If you like what you just heard, check out the full-length show. You can download the podcast or listen live at WFMU.org.